This is the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB.
So that's me finally onto the tube in London, heading towards central London for the Vision UK conference 2017. It's a beautiful day out here, so it's looking good for a great day of talks and hopefully a bit of networking as well. My name's Hussain Patwa. I'm hopefully going to get a bit of audio throughout the day, try and catch a few people for some interviews and keep my comments running through the day as well. So that's us just on to the final leg of our tube journey to the QE2 centre this morning. Bit of a delay on the way, but not too bad. Should just squeeze in with a few minutes to spare. I'm a little bit nervous about today. It's not the easiest thing to navigate a large conference venue, and trying to find expected people can be a bit difficult, but I'm up for the challenge and I think it's going to be a good day. Got about 20 minutes left before we get there.
Find the gap between the train and the platform.
And thank goodness this train has audio announcements, so I'll know when to get off. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Do you mind just
to
give you
right
there?
Would you mind, yeah, just
I'm in. You've got some stuff in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Where do I go?
Can I take your elbow?
Yes.
Can I take your bag?
Are you sure?
Yes, of course.
Be careful, you end up with one arm longer than the other.
No, no problem. Got the stuff in front of you.
Thanks.
Are you a delegate?
Yeah, I'm EP Vision.
What's your surname?
Patwa. Patwa. It's part of the RNIB contingent.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to go to the...
Thank you.
Last
name is Patwa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll just put you back there.
Thank you very much.
We're all together on the evaluation of the UK.
We did indeed. Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Good to see a familiar face.
Nice to see you.
Thank you very much.
What standards and...
Braille, please.
Journey here, or problems with the traffic?
District line problems. I actually got into London from Aberdeen at 7 this morning.
Oh, right, wow.
but then, like I say, delays on the tube, and then we had a bit of a kerfuffle with the security out there.
Oh, no.
They didn't seem to like the fact he was an Uber driver.
Okay.
But we got here in the end.
Yeah.
All that
matters.
Now, what's the. I've got no central vision, so navigating around here is going to be a bit of a problem.
Okay.
What's the procedure in terms of moving around after the session is
right,
done?
So I can come and meet you again after this session and take you up for the refreshments. That's
are you
fine.
Sure? Would you mind?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely
thank
fine.
You. Finally got here. Better late than never. And just in time for the first session as well. Massive place, 300 people. Let's see how we go.
One of the things that's always amazed me about this conference over the years is the way that it brings together different sectors that in some instances we all work and go through our working lives and trying to get stuff done, speak different languages and have different understandings of what needs to be done and different priorities in the way that the world should work. And it works. I'm very, very proud to have been appointed to be the chief exec, and very conscious that I'm doing that in the context of the UK Vision Strategy's work over the years that's created the networks and the processes of communication that give us the possibility of conceiving of change and conceiving of what we can do together as a collective, as a group, to get things going in the right direction for the eye health of the country and the line of visually impaired people in Britain. I'm also conscious that with Vision 2020, there have been extraordinary, Vision 2020 UK, I should stress, there have been extraordinary things done, starting to create genuine, deep, dive specialist discussions about how a country knits together in a way to create the kind of coalitions between different sectors and between specialisms to achieve change. And I think also the England Vision Strategy work that's going on over the last couple of years that forms part of the Vision UK partnership that we're forming, along with the other countries, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, that's starting to demonstrate real potential for innovation. What I ask for people to do today is to treat this as a working event. This is a doing conference. We're looking to build a coalition. We are looking to identify the key transformational activities, the key transformational ideas, the key issues that we need to confront in order to take life forward for those affected by life-changing sight loss in the country, and also to find the access to services, treatments and cures that enable people to avoid that sight loss in the first place. It worries me a little bit how unpredictable life can be sometimes. I did a speech to the Institute of Ophthalmology at Moorfields last June, principally about patient experience in the NHS and what could be done to modify that. And the day after, Britain voted to leave the European Union. And so I didn't do much until the following November, when I did a speech at the Royal College of General Practitioners about the importance of correct diagnostic pathways, particularly with conditions such as Charles Bonnet syndrome. And the day after, Donald Trump was elected in America. Now, I'm not aware that there's an election coming tomorrow, but I don't think any of us can really foresee, hopefully not as a consequence of my speech, but any of us can see what comes in the policy environment in the UK over the coming couple of years. But there are certain things that are certain. I think that is that we are here. That is that we are committed. That is that we are a mixed audience of different specialisms, different aspects of the sector, and visually impaired people are present in the room. Three quarters of the panel this morning are visually impaired themselves. We feel part of this movement.
I'm Graham Finlay, Chief Executive of North East Sensory Services, and I'm also Chairman of Visionary.
Brilliant. And it's great to have a fellow Aberdonian here as well. Is this the first time that you've been here? Or?
No, I've been to almost all of the conferences. I was the very first one. Mm-hmm. So when the speaker said this morning that there was only probably a handful of people who've been at the first one 10 years ago, I was here.
You're one of the ones still standing.
Yes, I am.
Brilliant. And have you enjoyed it so far?
Yes, I have. The motivational speaker guy at the beginning I thought was superb. I thought it was really, really good. The workshop we were on was quite interesting. It was health related though, so it was very much based on south of the border experiences. So we just have to be mindful that it's Vision UK.
And on that front, obviously, looking at the differences, given that we do have a different health system north of the border, you know, how much are you able to take away from today that will gel with what we have up north?
I think there is always good ideas that you can pick up, and there's always, and given the various roles that NESS, my organisation, plays now with the cross-party group on sight loss, for instance, some of the ideas that we pick up here, some interesting stuff about the round of work of ECLOS and how, and the change into the registration system, which is happening in Scotland as well, with an electronic registration form and everything, could take some of that back and feed that back through the cross-party groups as well. So, yeah, there's always something useful.
And obviously, you know, you're a visually impaired person, just like myself, but mm-hmm. from your position, not only as CEO of NESS, but obviously having a far greater feel for some of the complexities of the sector and healthcare, what part of the conference has most interested you, and are you looking to take away from today?
I think the big thing for me going forward is the drawing together of the three big national forums, if you like, into one, where Vision UK should then hopefully give one direction forward rather than everybody doing their own wee bit. You know, we can't force people to work in a particular way, but I think if there's a strategy that everybody has signed up to and there is one strategy, then I think that is something that we should all be getting behind and trying to make work.
And hopefully that's something that will reduce complexities and the opportunities for confusion if everything is simplified into one strand.
Yeah, and I think for me it's very simple as well. We're in this business to support blind and partially sighted people, and we always have to have that at the forefront of what we're about. And if we do that, we can't go wrong.
And I understand your lovely wife, Andrea, is with you as well?
Well, she's not my wife,
it is
the lovely Andrea.
Oh, sorry.
It is my PA. My lovely PA, Andrea.
My apologies.
That's right.
And how have you found the conference today, Andrea, so far?
I found it very interesting, yeah.
Is there a particular thing that you're looking to take away as well, or anything that's struck you about the day?
Just making sure I get Graham Finlay back on that flight tonight, really. No, I've enjoyed it. This is, the third or fourth one I've been at as well, and it's always interesting, and just networking with people that you've met before. So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both for your time. I appreciate that. Joined here by Jamie Gormandy from RNIB, no stranger to him with the Customer Council. Jamie, we've had the conference today, and it's been, certainly for me anyway, very educational and very motivating. I suppose with your RNIB hat on, where do you see the sector going from here as to the legacy of the conference?
It's been great to be here today with lots of partners from the sector, and I think that thing that I will take away that a few people referenced was the need to do things collaboratively, and things that we can do once really well, we should work together to do once and really well, and share our resources to make that happen. So that's the thing that for me, the momentum behind that collaboration across the sector, I'll be taking away and working towards in my role going forward.
I think collaboration has got to be the buzzword. I remember when I first became involved with RNIB in 2011, a statistic was quoted to me of there being over 700 charities in the sight loss sector. Hopefully this conference is just the start of a real coming together, and as you say, sharing across the country, especially in these hard times.
Yep, indeed. There's been lots of talk about it. I think where we need to mature is the action we take around it. Sometimes that involves being clear what each charity is doing, and respecting the role that we each have to play at both a local and national level, but not being restricted by the sort of barriers between organisations, particularly when it comes to facilitating blind and partially sighted people meeting together, accessing services and coming together, particularly to campaign for change.
Jamie, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Are you happy to give me a few comments for the radio?
Oh, are you recording for the radio?
I am, yes. I'm joined here by fellow Scott Matthew Clark, yes?
Yes.
Just to make sure I've got the right person. So I'm joined here by Matthew Clark, member of HAGAI, the Forum for Young, Blind and Partially Sighted People in Scotland, and fellow Scott. Welcome home. Matthew, good to see you at the conference today. Good to see a friendly face.
Thank you.
Tell me, what have you thought of it today?
I've been very encouraged that during a time when I feel there's a lot of financial pressure and pressure of management reorganisation within some of our largest and leading sight loss organisations, that there is still so much enthusiasm and so many fresh ideas at the conference today for how we as a sector can move forwards and continue to empower more volunteers and the people on the ground who knit together services and solutions and help the people in areas where services don't exist or don't reach far enough, that come from the centre, that come from charities. And the other area I've been particularly excited about is in ideas of how blind and partially sighted people can become not just consulted within the design of inclusive products, but can actually become those designers by us working together more strongly with the design industry and by promoting education and internship, apprenticeship and other paths for people to get into that industry. I will point out that I have still, however, very much missed the children, young people and families stream, which was lacking from the conference this year. And I think to promote a greater emphasis on education, chances into employment, when we still have that 75% unemployment figure still to tackle, that stream has either got to return or we've got to go further to, in another sense, involve children, young people and families, because getting the right support and services for them is going to transform the future of people with sight loss, people with sight loss who haven't yet been born. So let's think about them.
I think you're absolutely right, because I think I agree with you, we can't call ourselves a truly inclusive society if one of the fundamental parts of society, which will be tomorrow's today, is neglected. I'm rather intrigued by your point, especially given the challenges of Scottish geography and how far apart different towns can be, especially in the Highlands. And I like your point about not only literally getting closer to the centre, but also making sure that we're closer to the centre of support in terms of logistically and in terms of infrastructure. And I think that's perhaps a good point for people to take away from here, in that, you know, we don't all live in London and in things which are easy to access. Is there a particular part of the conference today that's appealed to you most?
Definitely it would be Stream Free this morning, where we had that discussion about involving blind and partially sighted people in inclusive design, and not just involving by consultation, as I tweeted and got lots of retweets on, which is great. We have consultation already. What we need is actual career paths into design, so that the blind and partially sighted people have opportunities in there, and designers are representative of the society they are designing for, just as politicians should be representative of the society they seek to represent and serve.
Well, this was a wonderful conference, and definitely glad I came. Now all I need to do is make sure I meet my connections home. I'm very grateful to the volunteers who helped out today, and Ian in particular. And it's definitely something that I hope I'll be able to attend next year. I was actually quite nervous going into the conference this morning, especially because large spaces and lots of people aren't easy for me to navigate, and I also find it really difficult to hear when it's a noisy environment. But the help of the volunteers today, and the way everything was organized so calmly and smoothly, just made it a very pleasurable experience, and it would encourage me to attend a similar conference in the future, either with RNIB or anyone else. I also think the audio acoustics in the room were just right, and that made all the difference. I think the only downside was I wasn't able to get the app to work. For some reason, the link to download didn't work, and it made it hard to know who was there and who wasn't, and I'm glad some of the people that I wanted to speak to came up to me. But other than that, it was great. Beautiful day here in London. Perhaps a bit too warm, but who's complaining? And now just looking forward to getting on the service home and getting a good meal. Like I say, a good day overall, and looking forward to seeing what follows after.
Thanks for downloading the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.